It's good to have you. Jesus is really thrilled about you being here. He has looked forward to this for a long time. Look forward to you in particular being here for a long time. He's the whosoever God. He doesn't have any favorites. We say that I'm his favorite, but we say that because everybody's his favorite, as if they're the only one. But he's the whosoever, and he just loves the whosoever, no matter who they are, the same. What we're doing at noon now is we're kind of just meandering through the Gospel of John. Don't know how long that's going to take. I've taught through the Gospel of John in recent years, but the Lord told me the other day, just a reminder that in my time alone with him, that he just wanted me to casually walk through the Gospel of John, and he wanted just to reveal the love of God to me in the Gospel of John and to pass that on. So that's what we're doing. The first chapter, particularly the first 18 verses, are just stunning because they just lay out like nowhere else in Scripture the incarnation and just the love of God in the incarnation. I mean, a couple of times in the Gospel of John, like in chapter 1, verse 9, I think it's verse 11, it uses the phrase, and coming into the world, and he came. And so we saw this yesterday, that this is who he is. This is his nature. He's a coming kind of God. He just keeps coming after us. He doesn't like play games with us and go, now go over here, get it right, or I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Or if you'll get it right, then we can be closer. You can't get closer than Jesus is to God the Father, and you're in Christ. And so you have his nearness. He's already taken care of that. Mark that one off the box. Now, you may not enjoy the intimacy. You may not take advantage of that nearness, but that's not, he's done everything. He's made it so simple. He's made it so easy. And so he just keeps coming after us. And so I'm grateful for that, aren't you? I mean, isn't that what you do as a father, as a mother? You just keep coming after. You know, even when you have to say sometimes, look, these are the consequences you've created, but we're here and we love you, and you just need to know that we're here for you. And we saw yesterday the fact that this is a classic verse. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. The word become here, there are several translations. The best translation in this context was emerge. As many as received him, then he gave the right to emerge as a child of God. And the child of God that we emerge as is those who've been grafted into the sonship of Jesus, co-heirs with Christ. Everything that he is and everything that we have is ours. Now, the interesting thing we mentioned yesterday, and we won't hang there long, because one thing I want you to see particularly today, is that we hear people say a lot in the world where they're all God's children. That's not true. God says he's their creator, and he loves the world, but he's not everybody's father. Only those who have been reborn into the sonship of Jesus get to enjoy the Abba thing. Again, God so loved the world. It didn't say God was so mad at the world that he crucified Jesus because he was taking out everything, all of his hatred on Jesus. He so loved the world. And this is love. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what love looks like. So he loves the world so much that he was willing to give up everything. You were worth everything to him. But in terms of being able to treat everybody in the world as Abba, Papa who wants to bless and cuddle and love and share everything with you, he cannot. That breaks his heart. So I'll give you an example. I'm straying, but it's not my fault. The scripture says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, but sometimes he just wants to lead when you're not ready for him to go in a direction he's going to go in. So this will fit emerging as a child of God, though it's not what I was planning on talking about today. I wrote about it yesterday in the devotional, and I want you to hear about it. I think it disappoints God that we have to motivate people to participate in spiritual things like prayer, like fasting, like reading scripture. Do we have to motivate them by recalling them the disciplines, by referring to duty and responsibility? I mean, I just can't tell you how thrilled Livy would have been when I would have said to her, look, I'm going to spend some time with you because it's my duty. She would have said to me, you can go out and sit in the yard until you decide to repent. I mean, what pleasure would that bring to her? None. And yet our Father is a real Father. God has real feelings. He really cares. And so when did we decide that prayer was a duty? You know why we decided it? Because we figured out that things happen when we pray, And the only way to get Christians to do stuff is to make them feel guilty, put a burden on them, make them get bent towards themselves, get bent towards the law again, trying to perform. We can't imagine the idea of allowing the Holy Spirit, who makes Christ's life real in us, make it so alluring to pray that we could no way in the world avoid it. Jesus said in the, when you pray, pray like this. He didn't say if you pray. He just assumed you would pray. Why? Because think about it again. What's the dream? The dream is that we would be as adopted as sons. That was the predestiny. And we've talked about them this a lot lately. So hear it again. For CTKers, don't get over it, because we're going to keep hearing it. Because it's where everything starts. That God always, his heart was always, Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. His heart was always that we would be involved in the relationship of the Trinity through Christ. That we would be in Christ. God became human, and he's forever human. And that's our humanity in Christ, in relationship with the Father and the Spirit. It was always his dream, a God of love, to share. God, Father, Son, and Spirit chose to create a people who could share in all that they have and all that they are, participate in their life, not becoming God, but participating in that, inviting into that world of amazing, lovesick, passion and relationship between the Father, Son, and Spirit, and in Christ experience the life that he is and all that he is, all that he has, woven into the fabric of his existence, him therefore woven into the fabric of my existence, his story becoming my story, and my story is his story. But one of the mysteries of prayer, one of the things about prayer is that there's this mystery and this magic about it. Now, I'm using the word magic. Don't be a fundamentalist, so you can't use the word magic. You've invited demons. No, if you're saying that, then we need to do deliverance on you. Yeah. Like Narnia magic. It says about Jesus in Luke 5:16, he would often slip away into the wilderness to pray. We also know that he would go to the Mount of Olives often, spend all night in prayer. Now, do you think Jesus ever did that out of a sense of duty? No. Why did he do that? Now, he did that as Son of Man. Though he was God, very God, he was incarnationally man. He laid down his right to live as God. He did nothing on his own initiative. He only did those things he saw the Father doing. Only said those things he heard the Father saying. Philippians 2 says he laid down his right, the kenosis. That's the doctrine of the kenosis. He laid down his right to live out of his deity. And he came as second Adam, as the author and the perfecter of faith. And so he went to the Father as man, knowing, one, he longed for the fellowship, to experience what he'd experienced throughout all eternity, this amazing fellowship of the burning heart, Mike Bickle calls it. But the other thing he knew as man, he knew the magic and the mystery of prayer, that somehow, that when you pray, things change. I remember asking the Lord one time, this was recently when I came back from Africa, I said, so Lord, what does fasting do? And I've taught about it, but this was just a time to ask questions again. This is a time in my life to ask questions again, because the answers are better than they ever were before. And so I said, Lord, so why fasting? And he said, what does fasting do? He says, moves things. I said, okay. Then I said, what things? He said, everything. I thought, okay. Now, as a Westerner, normally we'd like go, okay, explain that more. I want to be able to break that down. I want to make it make sense. I was like going, that's all I need to hear. It moves him. It moves the enemy. It moves situations. Yes, sir. And so prayer, here's the deal about prayer. This is about the love of God, emerging as a child of God. Emerging, I love that word, emerging, because we're discovering every day the wonders of being a co-heir with Christ. And at 70, there are things I'm figuring out that I thought I knew, but I know better. It's bigger, it's brighter, it's more incredible. The answers are bigger, better. I mean, I was at the audiologist for about my ears this morning, and while they're talking, he's talking. And I'm supposed to be listening for these beeps while he's having a conversation. I'm thinking, Lord, can't you be like more sensitive? I can't. I'm going to fail this test because you won't quit yakking. So I'm just saying, so Lord, this person, I really hope this person comes to communion. And the Lord said, me too, but I'm a whosoever God. So it doesn't matter who comes. I love them all the same, with the same intensity. I thought, that is so cool. Not that I didn't know that, but to hear him say, I'm a whosoever God. And you think about it all the time. It says whosoever believes. So here's the deal, is that, could God do things on the earth without us praying? Yep. But he chooses not to. Why? Because he's our Father. And he likes to include us. He knows it's going to bring us joy. As a father, he loves to bring us into situations, and we participate in the sovereign God moving pieces because he knows how much joy that brings us. He created us to participate in the life of the Trinity. He created us. A disciple is the word learner. And the word came from like somebody who's a woodworker, like Jesus' dad, Joseph. And you would take someone in and they would learn the craft until they could do it what the discipler was doing. We're learning. That's what makes it so incredible. I'm learning every day what it means for not just for him to be my Abba, but for me to experience him as Abba. He's the Abba Jesus. It's the spirit of Jesus in me crying, Abba Father. I have his relationship with Abba. Whoa. Now I'm liberated to not think about how can I influence Abba? Because you know me, I don't always get it right, and I probably don't deserve, and he may be pouting tomorrow. You know? I'm getting left out because I messed up really bad. No, I get to have Jesus' relationship with Abba, and therefore I can come boldly because I'm coming in his name. And the whole thing about prayer is that it just works magic because he's supernatural God. And so Aslan just invites me to join him in governing the affairs of this earth because he loves me and knows how much that would mean to me. That's prayer. It's about love. It's about how much God loves you. It's not about duty. It's not about discipline. You'll find yourself creating disciplines in it because you just don't want to miss the opportunities. You're not fighting to find time. You're fighting everything else that might take away time. That's when you get it. I remember talking to somebody one time and they were talking about praying and they wanted me to come pray with them somewhere at 4:30 in the morning. I said, no. And so they wanted to know why. I said, because I'm asleep at 4:30 in the morning. And if I come and pray with you, I'll still be asleep at 4:30 in the morning. And God doesn't really impress with that. And they said this to me. They said, there's a quote from, I think it's Joel. Well, you got to learn to walk with the footman before you can run with the horseman. In other words, they were telling me they were running with the horseman because they could get up at 4:30 and I couldn't. And I'm thinking, with that attitude, you should stay in bed too because it doesn't count. You're so proud of how much you're praying. It's a delight. It's a joy. It's a grace. And magic happens. And I don't know about you, but in the natural, if I touch something and something incredible happens, I want to touch it again and again, see if it'll keep happening that way. And then discover, wow, you can do bigger things. You got 10 toes. Well, 9 3/4 toe and 10 fingers. And you can just touch all kinds of stuff because Abba, because I'm emerging. Because as many as received him, not achieved him, to them he gave the right to emerge as the children of God. Prayer is just about being the child of God and the absolute stunning love and wonder that he invites me to come and help make the thing, participate in the thing working, the pieces being moved around. That blows me away. Makes me want to pull my hair out. Or all three of them. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.